job. Adam was asking about who's gonna
Eric.
Yes.
Sorry. Is that better? There we go. Adam was asking about if I could speak a sermonette this evening. And so I planned on that, and I got to thinking about it. And, I read a verse of Scripture, and, it planted a seed in my mind. And so hopefully I can transfer that over to you, get you thinking along the same vein for this weekend. Starting everyone off, it's kind of a big responsibility. Got to try and set the tone, hopefully, for the weekend. I don't want to mess this up. You're the first people that I'm talking to over this reunion. I'm the first one you get to hear. So I pray that I'll be able to give you rest, give you peace, give you encouragement. So I want to start off tonight with a little scenario, if you will. And I want you all to imagine yourselves being wrongfully accused and detained and received a sentence, and that sentence was to die. If the day before your scheduled sentence was carried out, what would you be praying? What is it that you would ask of God? Would you ask Him for your freedom? To leave the place that you had been imprisoned? Would you ask for forgiveness? To forgive the things that you'd done, knowing that you were going to die and see your Lord and Savior? Would you pray for your family? Because you would no longer be there for them. Would you pray for your children? Would you pray for your friends? It's a hypothetical story, but we have an example of just such a case in Scripture. When you read in the Gospels, Christ went and He prayed in the garden prior to His judgment, prior to His death. And in most of the Gospels, it talks about how He asked, if this cup could be taken from Him and if He could be relieved, if there was any other way. But in the Gospel of John, we get this message, this prayer that Christ prayed. And He did pray for His friends. He prayed for His disciples. He prayed for Himself. He prayed to God, for that cup to pass if it was possible. He prayed for God's will to be done. And in John, the 17th chapter, as He's prayed for these things, I'm going to take a snippet out of Christ's prayer. John 17, verse 20. And He had prayed before this to the people that were there. I want You to take care of these people, Lord, who I'm leaving behind. And in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. That's us. We weren't there to see Him crucified. We weren't there to know what happened, to see it with our own eyes. We rely on the testimony of those that were. And so here in verse 20, He is praying for you and I. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Christ prayed that we would be one, that we would be unified. That's a pretty tall order. When I look out in the crowd here, I see a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, from a lot of different places, a lot of different experiences, different countries. Some have suffered tragedy. Some have been thrust down, broken. And we all have a different experience. And it's easy to think of other people and their situation as them being, you know, not as good, not as perfect. It's easy to divide. You know, that's one of Satan's greatest tools, is to cause division. And the reason it's one of his greatest tools is because he doesn't have to do much. He'll plant a seed, and you know what? We take that and we run with it often. You know, it's so easy to divide. I can divide us right now. I can bring up left-leaning or right-leaning politics and have people raise hands. Where do you fall? I can ask you about vaccinations, and I guarantee we can divide this room. I can ask you about schooling, home, or public, and I can divide this room right now on issues that you all feel very convicted about. And therein lies the problem. Sometimes our convictions overrun what Christ has for us. We can be convinced of our cause to such a degree, and we can cause a lot of damage. I heard a story once, I read a long time ago, of a church. And their pastor got up and he preached a sermon. He quoted that scripture about greeting one another with a holy kiss. And some of the parishioners took that literally. And they began, as they arrived on Sunday, to kiss one another in accordance with the word. And there were those that didn't like that. And this division sprung up. And it got to the point where they could no longer meet together on Sunday. They had to get separate churches. Divided over this secondary issue. Both sides had conviction, and they held to their convictions. But I ask, who won? Was God joyous with the splitting of a congregation? Was he happy that they were divided over his gospel? Was that what he intended when he sent his son? I think not. So what does it mean to be unified? Does that mean we all need to be carbon copies? We all need to be the same. We all need to think the same. We all have the same opinions. We all have the same thoughts. You know, we just spent an hour singing. If you look at these books and you look at the music that's on there, there is a division on that page, on each page. There's a treble clef, there's a bass clef, and even those are divided. There's a soprano line and an alto line. There is a tenor line and there is a bass line. And they all have different notes to sing. But you know, what unites them is the word that's between those lines. No, we can't all be the same. It's impossible. We can't even all have the same convictions. It's not possible. Same as the symphony. We can't have a symphony orchestra made up of entirely flutes. It's not a symphony. We can't have a family where all are fathers. It's not a family. We can't all be the same. And yet we're called to unity. We need to unify. So what is it that we need to unify on? If you look in Mosiah in the 9th chapter, Alma had been called. And he began to call others and give them a commission and tell them and speak to them and give them guidelines. In Mosiah in the 9th chapter, in the 52nd verse, and he commanded them that they should teach nothing save it were the things which he had taught, which had been spoken of by the mouth of the holy prophets. Yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith in the Lord who hath redeemed his people. And he commanded them that there should be no contention one with another. They should look forward with one eye, having one faith, one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love one towards another. You know, there we have a simplified gospel. It's something we can all unite on. We may have convictions. We may have opinions. But we have to unite. We have to unite on the word that is given to us. We have to unite on the principles of the gospel. So we've got to be careful about secondary issues, about issues that don't really have anything to do with salvation. Does it really matter what our interpretation of the millennial reign is? And a lot of people have a lot of strong opinions on that. Does it really matter that much? I think not. I think it's something we just all need to participate in, whatever that role is. You know, I've read the scriptures front to back. I've never found mention of homeschooling or public schooling. It doesn't exist. I've read the scriptures front to back. I've never seen anything on vaccinations, whether you should be or shouldn't be. I've read the scriptures. I've never seen anything on left-leaning, right-leaning politics. And yet those are all things for which many of you have strong convictions. But if we seek to divide, it's so easy. If we seek to let our convictions override our love, we will be divided. We're going to be remembered not for what we should be remembered for. And what should we be remembered for as a church and as a people? Again, go back to John in the 13th chapter, verse 34. Christ again, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, we're not going to be known as a church for our opinion or our conviction. That is not the way Christ would have it. What he wants is he wants us to be known for our love one to another, for our forgiveness one to another, for our grace one to another, for the mercy we have one to another. That is how he identifies his church. That is how we will be known in the world. Not because we have convictions on secondary issues, because we have strong opinions on matters of the gospel. That is not what we will be remembered for. It is not what we'll be known for. And if we are, it's going to be because we are a church that was divided over a secondary issue. A tale. A warning. So what do we unite on? We have the word. We have this gospel before us. Plain. And precious. Asking forgiveness. Giving forgiveness. Can we unite on those things. Can we unite this weekend in prayer to our Lord, who granted us His Son? Is that something we can unite? Can we unite on our leader, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Can we all look to Him together? Can we unite on forgiveness? Forgiving one another as Christ forgave us and sacrificed Himself. Can we unite this weekend against a common enemy who seeks to divide us? I don't want us to be remembered for our conviction. I want us to be remembered for our love, as Christ asked us to be. Love one another. Have patience, long-suffering, and mercy when it's not deserved. That stands out to people. How do they have this love? How is it known among them? That is what will make us known. That is what will spread the gospel, is having love in this room, in this weekend. I thank you for your time, and I hope that you will come back tomorrow united in prayer and fasting and looking forward to hearing and feeling the Spirit of God. Thank you.